This is WFYI News Now. It's November 17th, and I'm Abrianna Heron. Coming up, river otter trapping season opened this week in Indiana. It's one of the state's lesser-known conservation efforts.
Our river otters are doing the best of all the otters in the world. Yay!
More on that story coming up, but first, these headlines. Two Indianapolis organizations have called for greater transparency about the departure of Newfield's president and CEO. The Indiana Black Expo and the Indianapolis Urban League issued a statement about the negative perceptions attached to Dr. Colette Burnett's exit. Indy Black Expo VP of Administration Katrina Owens says the organization started a meaningful relationship under Burnett's guidance.
Indiana Black Expo engaged over 250 individuals for our film festival this year that was located at Newfield. We purchased yearly memberships and gave them to our IBE volunteers. We were working on a 2024 plan that now has come to a halt.
Burnett started the job only 15 months ago, replacing the former Newfield CEO, Charles Venable. He resigned after public outcry over an Indianapolis Museum of Art director job post that sought to maintain the organization's, quote, traditional core white audience. Newfield has not provided details about Burnett's departure. The Indianapolis Public School Board approved the sale of a closed school building to a local nonprofit. WFYI's Eric Weddle has more.
The sale comes amid a legal fight between IPS and Attorney General Todd Rokita. Earlier this week, Marion Superior Court ruled that IPS is exempt from a law that requires districts to sell closed school buildings to charter organizations for $1. Rokita's office warned the district of selling the school because it's appealing the decision. But that did not stop the IPS school board, who unanimously approved a resolution to sell Francis Bellamy School 102. It was sold to Voices, a nonprofit offering youth programs, for $550,000.
We're excited for Voices Corp and the work they'll continue to do in the community.
That's IPS Superintendent Alicia Johnson. No comments were made by board members. I'm Eric Weddle.
A new partnership will provide boxes packed with healthy food for residents in neighborhoods that lack access. WFYI's Jill Sheridan reports on the effort.
The initiative, dubbed Drive and Dish, provides 1,000 boxes of fresh produce, eggs, recipes, and other staples to residents every week. Director of Community Nutrition and Food Policy with the City of Indianapolis, Malele Kennedy, says it will be offered to families for a year.
And that's something that we haven't been able to do before, and it provides stability for these families to know that they'll be able to get that healthy produce week after week without having to worry about where that's coming from.
The produce distribution model seeks to fill a gap in Indianapolis neighborhoods where it's difficult to connect with affordable, healthy food. 37 Place at Edna Martin Christian Center and the Christomore House will distribute the boxes starting in January. Indiana Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle and other organizations have contributed to the efforts. I'm Jill Sheridan, WFYI News.
Governor Eric Holcomb says he traveled to Kenya recently to show his appreciation to Indiana National Guard soldiers serving overseas there. More than 100 guardsmen have been stationed in the East African nation for most of this year, and Holcomb said he wanted to visit to bring awareness of their service.
When you're gathering around Thanksgiving dinner table with your family and friends and loved ones, if you feel so inclined, include them on your prayer list because they're in a pretty hot place in the world in more ways than one.
Indiana National Guard leader Dale Lyles was on the trip with Holcomb and acknowledges the very, very volatile international security environment. But he says that doesn't translate to heightened tensions for the guardsmen.
Soldiers that are serving at Camp Simba right now are focused on their mission at hand, and that's to help rid this particular region of the world of the violent extremist organizations that are seeking to undermine the freedom of Kenya.
The Indiana soldiers are due to return home next year. The Indiana Farm Bureau released its annual Thanksgiving Market Basket Survey. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Violet Cumber Weiland reports Hoosiers can expect lower Thanksgiving dinner prices than last year.
According to the survey, Hoosiers are paying an average of $54.64 for a Thanksgiving dinner of 10 people, or $5.46 per person. Isabella Chisholm is the second vice president of the Farm Bureau. She says these prices are about 10% less at the grocery store than in 2022.
Amidst all of this inflation, that we have a low point for our Thanksgiving meal, something to celebrate and be thankful for. So we've actually gone down over last year's prices.
INFB's chief economist, Todd Davis, adds the main contributor for these decreases were lower costs of turkey. This is due to a reduction in avian flu cases throughout the U.S. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Violet Cumber Weiland.
And now for our in-depth reporting. One of Indiana's lesser-known conservation efforts, river otter trapping season, opened recently. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Clayton Baumgarth met with Department of Natural Resource officers and hobbyist trappers to uncover why the season is important for maintaining healthy wildlife.
In 1995, Indiana began restoring the river otter population by introducing 303 otters at 12 sites located all around the state. Otters had been on the endangered species list due to unregulated hunting and rapid habitat changes since the early 1900s, but their reintroduction was so successful that in 2005, North American river otters were taken off of the endangered species list. And with increased population numbers comes increased problems for Hoosiers. Nick Ernie is a part of the Indiana State Trappers Association, a group focused on connecting trappers and providing education to those interested in the hobby.
I've got ponds on our family farm that are next to the river, and used to be great fishing when I was a kid. The otter got into them and ruined them now.
In 2015, the Indiana Department of Natural Resources opened the first otter trapping season to allow folks like Ernie to trap up to two otters to curb the population. The season runs either until 750 otters have been trapped throughout the state or March 15th, whichever comes first.
I think they're fair numbers. Obviously, down here in our part of the state, it's very easy to catch your two. And we try to avoid them as much as possible till the fur becomes really nice in the wintertime.
Ernie often accidentally happens across otters. While using body grip traps or foothold traps for beaver and raccoons, he's often found an otter caught in their place.
I had caught so many incidental-wise that even right now I don't truly target the otter in Indiana because we're going to pick our two up just while we're beaver trapping. We've got a lot of beaver issue down here, so the beaver and the otter live in the same places, so odds are while you're beaver trapping, you're going to catch your otter anyhow.
Once they've caught an otter, trappers have to register their catch and turn in the skinned carcass and separated pelt. The meat from the otter can be eaten, but often isn't.
I'm not going to. They've got a really bad fishy smell to them. There's no way I'm eating that.
Jerry Ann Albers, the fur bearer and turkey programs leader for the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, says the carcasses are kept by the DNR in order to help collect data on local populations.
And we take that carcass and we collect data from it about things like age, and that helps us build our population model, keep track of our river otter populations. We can look at other things too, like diseases.
Pelts that are turned in receive a CITES tag. CITES stands for Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. These tags designate the pelts as sourced from a non-endangered species and allow them to be sold on the global market where frigid countries like Russia often buy the dense furs. The North American river otter is the only otter species in the world listed as not at risk of becoming a threatened population, allowing them to be sold in this way.
Our river otters are doing the best of all the otters in the world. Yay! But we take those things very seriously, obviously. We want to also help otter conservation internationally. So we tag all of those river otters.
If you're not a trapper and hoping to catch a glimpse of an otter this year, you might be surprised to learn some live closer than you'd think.
We've had several sightings from Lake Monroe and from surrounding area, Clear Creek, Lake Lemon, Bean Blossom Creek, places like that. Occasionally they get spotted. We actually had one recently along Bean Blossom Creek just in the last couple months.
The otter populations in south, central, and eastern Indiana are small, though. Monroe County is one of 14 counties where river otter harvest is closed. This makes spotting otters close by challenging, but not impossible. Albers says to look for web paw prints in mud, piles of scat called latrines, or a certain trail in the snow.
They like to do this thing over land where they slide on their belly. So they do a bound, and then they slide. And they bound, and then they slide. So the tracks, especially in snow, can be really easy to tell, because if you're seeing a long slide and then some bounding, that's an otter.
Albers says the trapping season is important not just for research and population control. The limited season allows trappers to maintain positive values around otters.
They don't think of them as, you know, just a nuisance and something that needs to just be gotten rid of. And like, why did we reintroduce these dumb things, right? They feel like there's options for them to be able to deal with a problem when they have it, and they can keep a more positive image of the species as a result.
November 15th not only marks the start of otter trapping season, but also beaver, muskrat, and long-tailed weasel season. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Clayton Baumgarth.
That's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Our podcast is produced by the following people who live in your community: Darian Benson, Kendall Antron, and me, Aubriana Heron. Our news director is Sarah Neal Estes. If you like today's episode, remember to subscribe and share, and find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your community.